Would you please turn in your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 2. 1 Kings chapter 2. God willing, we're going to read verses 1 through 4. 1 Kings chapter 2, 1 through 4. We have 1 and 2 Samuel, and then Kings, and then Chronicles. 1 Kings, Old Testament, chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. The Word of God says in 1 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, "Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die. And he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, and his commandments, and his judgments, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself. That the Lord may continue his word which he spake concerning me, saying, If thy children take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail thee, said he, a man on the throne of Israel." If I read that correctly, brethren, that's the King James Version. 1 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. God bless the reading of the Word, and God bless the preaching of the Word is my prayer. Amen. So good to see you all out there. We have Sunday after Sunday. Some are out and some are here. And this Sunday, most are here. And we have even visitors and friends, loved ones of yours. It's good to see you. I thank God for it. Thank God for it. It helps. It's a glory to God. It helps me. On this Father's Day, 2021, I have read to you some advice given by a father to his son. It was given some 3,000 years ago, roughly. My Bible has in the margin 1015 B.C. That's 1,000 years before Christ came in the flesh. And it's been about 2,000 since he departed, since he came. And 2 plus 1 is 3,000 years ago. A father's advice to his son. And I want to say to you, brethren, that this advice is just as timely right now, a minute ago when I read it, as it was when David spoke it to his son. We're told in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go. David was trying to give some training to his son. And there are children in this building right now, and their parents, grandparents, are endeavoring to train them in the way that they should go. That's the Old Testament, Proverbs. The New Testament, Ephesians 6:1 says, that fathers are to, and mothers, but fathers are to bring up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, in the care of the Lord. Nurture them. Nurture them. Nurture them like a plant, like you would a plant when you plant a plant. Yesterday I took some fertilizer, and there was water because it was raining already. It was raining, and I took some fertilizer, and I took it by hand, and I went around some plants, and I sprinkled it on those plants. I was nurturing those plants. I'm trying to get them to grow and produce and be strong. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You and I are to admonish them. Admonish them. And that's one thing David was doing. He was admonishing his son, trying to bring them up in the way they should go. Fathers and mothers, but mothers, about a month ago, you had your day, and I'm going to concentrate on fathers today. This week, I witnessed some of that. This past week, it was a blessing for me. I was in a dorm at camp, and there were fathers in there. There were several fathers in there, and they had their little boys with them. The 8 to 10 year olds, we call them, they're called juniors at camp. The junior boys. Brother Victor asked me what dorm I wanted to be in several days ago. And I said, Brother Victor, I want to be where it's quiet, and I don't want to be in there with a bunch of rowdy teenage boys. And he said, and thank you, Brother Victor. That's a praise. I praise you, Brother Victor, for putting me in the dorm you did. There were three or four fathers in there, maybe, and about a half a dozen or more little boys, 8 to 10. And there was also a grandfather in there. There was a grandfather from Hickory Springs Church. He and his wife brought 4 children from about age 11 or 12 down. There was a 10-year-old and about a 7-year-old, and then there was a toddler. They brought those 4 children and spent the week with them. Now that's loving God and loving your children, brethren. That granddaddy was in there on that bunk bed with down the row from me. He had his fan. He came well prepared. He had him a fan to blow on him, and he had a lot of comforts that you might have at home. But he had those little boys with him, training them in the way they should go. And I witnessed it, brethren. I listened to devotions at night that these men would give to those little boys. I listened to what they would say to those boys. I watched them nurture them, see about them, and say, now, son, it's time to get your bathing suit on. It's time for swimming. They'd come in and say, son, now we got to change clothes. We got Bible activities next, or we got this, or we're going to eat. They kept them on schedule. And when they get a little rowdy, they call them down a little bit, and they'd remind them that you need to be careful in here, need to be quiet, don't need to jump on the bed. You don't need to jump from the top bunk to the bunk next to you. Don't do that, son. And they correct them. They bring them up in the way they should go. They were training them to be obedient to them, and they were training them about the things of God. That's just my experience in my dorm. It happened all over. There were older boys down the way, and there were girls down this way, young little girls with their mamas and grandmamas, and there were the teenage girls over that way, and teaching going on all over the place. And that's what I was blessed to witness this week, and I thought as I was thinking about Father's Day, I remembered reading this in recent days, and I said, well, maybe the Holy Spirit said to me, that would be a good thing to study on Father's Day. A father to his son, David to Solomon. Neither one was sinless or perfect. I don't know a father or a son that is. But this is a good example right here, brethren. So let's study this advice. All of us, but particularly fathers, grandfathers in here, and fathers-to-be. Fathers-to-be. Because we've got some in here. Let's read it. Let's read these 4 verses, and just let me comment a little about each verse as we go through. Now, the days of David drew nigh that he should die, and he charged Solomon, his son. A charge, brethren. A charge is not just fatherly advice. A charge is, I looked it up in the dictionary, I knew it was stronger than just fatherly advice. It's instructions. It's serious instruction. When I was a judge, one of my jobs was to charge the jury. At the end of the close of all the evidence, you got the courtroom out here, you got a jury sitting over here, usually 12 people, and you got the parties down here, and all they presented, all their evidence, and then it became my duty, one of my duties, it became my duty at that point, was to charge the jury. And I'd say to the jury, I'm about to charge you. Well, you know, don't get the wrong idea. I'm not going to charge you with a crime. It's not an indictment. It's instruction to you. It's instruction on how you're to consider the evidence and what your job is. And I would give them, they gave me the powers that be, gave me a big old binder. And you picked out which charges applied, and I had to organize them, and then I had to get them and read them to the jury, instruct the jury. Kind of a nerve-wracking thing, but I got a little bit used to it as time went on. And they're very attentive. They sit there and they look at me. I wanted to listen because people have spent days getting ready for all this. It's important. It's very important. What your job is important. So listen carefully to the instructions. How to apply the law to the evidence as they find it. How to apply the law. And so, brethren, David is charging some. A charge, according to Webster's dictionary, to charge is to command, to instruct, to exhort with authority. You see? And that's what David was doing to his son. A father has authority over the son. He has responsibility. And David's trying to carry this out. In the interest, brethren, of Solomon, and in the interest of his kingdom, the people that lived in his kingdom, David charged him. He instructed him with authority. Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die, and he charged Solomon. You see, David knew that his time had just about run out. Fathers and grandfathers, do you agree with me? We don't have a whole lot of time with our boys, do we? It goes by fast. It goes so fast. And we miss opportunities. And we don't do the job we ought to, but praise God, He helps us and helps us along. And David's going, he says to Solomon, he says this, verse 2, I go the way of all the earth. I'm going where all of them before me have gone. I'm going where my daddy went, my granddaddy went. I'm following the way. I'm about to check out, Solomon. So here's my advice to you. Number one, be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man. Be strong. And he doesn't mean primarily here, brethren, physically. No doubt he means that. But he's talking about, Solomon, you've got great responsibility on you. You need to stand, son. You need to stand strong. Stand strong. I was just mentioning to you about that case. I think it was in Philadelphia. That 9-0 Supreme Court case. Somebody, brethren, somebody somewhere said, we're standing against this. We're not going to have this. At least if we have it, it'll be pushed down our throat. We won't go. We'll go kicking and screaming. But we're not standing for this. And we're going to challenge this. And they did. And to get to where they got, brethren, they had to go through court after court after court until finally the Supreme Court says, we'll hear it. We'll hear it. They don't hear it. But a small percentage of the cases that people want them to hear. But they said, thank God, we'll take this one. We'll take this one. And they took it. And they ruled for those standing, brethren, standing strong. They ruled for them 9-0. Praise God for that. So David says, stand strong, therefore. Show thyself a man. To be a man, brethren, to be a man and to stand is a wonderful thing. It's a great responsibility. And it's scary, too. But, brethren, when a man does that, God bless him. My hat's off to him. I salute him. I'm proud of him. Show thyself a man. Verse 3, keep the charge of the Lord thy God. You see, the writer here of 1 Kings says that David charged Solomon. That's in verse 1. And in verse 3, David's own words are, keep the charge of the Lord God. Because Solomon, you see, I'm charging you, son, but there's somebody charging me. There's somebody with more authority than me. Who's that? The Lord God Almighty. He says, Solomon, we take our instructions, son, from above. I didn't make these up. I got them from God. And they came to us on Mount Sinai. That's where God gave the law, brethren, to His people, His chosen people. Moses went up on the mountain and got it, starting with the Ten Commandments. And when he brought them out of bondage, he didn't bring them out, brethren, so they could live happily ever after and just take it easy in the land of Canaan. He said, you've got a responsibility to me. I brought you out of bondage. Now you do this. Keep the charge of the Lord thy God. That's God's word. In this case, it's the Mosaic law. And we're under grace. And I'm going to get to that in a minute. But in David's day, brethren, the law was the law of God. the Torah, I think, the Pentateuch, the law given at Sinai. Keep the charge of the Lord thy God. Thy God. He's your God, Solomon. He saved you too, like he saved me. To walk in his ways. Isn't that a wonderful way to say it? Walk in his ways. You know, brethren, when we finish in a little bit, we're going to stand up and sing a song, then we're going to walk out of here. We're going to take one step at a time, one foot before the other. We're going to walk. We're going to walk out of here. We took my granddaughter to camp, and we met her mama and daddy and her little sister and her little brother for lunch, and turned her back over to them. And I held him. I held the little boy. He's a year old, just turned a year old, and he's walking now. And I sat him down to see what he'd do. I stood him down on the floor in the restaurant, and he stood, he rocked back and forth, he wobbled back and forth. And then finally he didn't walk. He just sat down, put his hands right on that nasty floor, and his mama jumped up and started wiping his hands. But he's learning to walk, brethren, and we learn to walk a step at a time. And once we learn to walk, brethren, this is not talking about one foot in front of the other. It's talking about day by day decisions. Walk in his way. That's what it's talking about. He says walk. And when I said what, if I said you walk up here for a minute, you'd walk up here probably. But when I say walk in God's ways, I'll see you. Have a good week. Walk in God's ways. That means remember God's law. Remember his charge and walk in it. When you have a fork in the road, in the path there, one's right and one's wrong, go the right way. Walk in God's ways. Keep his statutes. You see, they had statutes. They had written laws like we do. And David says to his son, "Son, keep God's statutes. Follow them. And his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses. Keep those, son. Follow those." You know, I don't know if the entire conversation is recorded here. I don't know. But you know, David could have said also, he says, "Son, you know, I haven't kept them. I haven't kept them like I ought to. But I've kept them, by and large." And he said, you know, Solomon, you're here partly because of me not keeping the commandments of God. Your mother, your mother was another man's wife, and I took her, son. Don't walk that way. But that union, son, you had an older brother, Solomon. There was a little baby born from me and your mama. He died. He's not with us now, Solomon. You are. You're a great, great young man. You're going to be greater. But you had an older brother, and he's dead now, because I did not walk in the statutes of God. The one that says, "Thou shalt not commit adultery," Solomon, I broke that one. I broke it. And God punished me for it. And I won't try to name all the other bad things that happened to David. You know some of them. So David is, you know, arguably he's trying to say, "Son, don't do what I did. Follow God's law." And here's part of the reason, Solomon, that thou mayest prosper. Do you want your boys to prosper? Do you want your daughters to prosper? Oh man, I do. I do. I got children, three children, five grandchildren. I think it's five. I want them all to prosper. And so I tell them to keep God's law. Don't follow me, follow me only as I'm following God, but follow God. Do these things, Solomon, in verse 3, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself. Because God will bless you, Solomon, if you follow his law. Oh, it won't be easy. Always it won't be easy. But the more you do it, the easier it gets. But it won't always be easy, Solomon. But you do it, that you may prosper, Solomon, that you may prosper, and that those who live in your kingdom will prosper. Because, Solomon, you've got a kingdom to rule over. And I'm about to leave, and you're going to be king. And so here's my advice, my parting words to you. That you may prosper. That the Lord may continue. Here's a promise that God had made. He said, David, as long as you and your descendants, the men that come after you, as long as y'all keep my word, there'll not fail in Israel somebody from your house to sit on the throne. It's an if then. If, David, y'all do this, then I'll do this. It's a conditional promise. There are unilateral covenants. God just says, I'm going to do this, period. And then there are bilateral. It goes both ways. If you do this, then I'll do this. This one is the bilateral. It's a conditional promise. That the Lord may continue His word, which He spake concerning me, David, saying, if thy children take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, then there shall not fail thee, in parentheses, said He, that's God, a man on the throne of Israel, a man of the house of David. Well, did Solomon do that? Did he walk? He did for a while, not long after he became king. God asked him what he wanted, you know. He said, give me wisdom, because I've got a great responsibility here. God said, great, I'm going to give you wisdom, but I'm also going to make you prosperous, Solomon. And there's something that says something like, Solomon made silver in Israel like rocks or like stones. I mean, you know, it's rare for us. I get my hands on any silver, I'm going to keep it, because it's rare, but that's what it said. That's how prosperous Solomon was. The Queen of Sheba came to see him, and when she watched him in action and talked to him, and he answered all her questions, and she said, oh, I heard you were good, but I didn't hear half of it. There's a hymn we sing, the half has never yet been told. She said, I didn't hear half of how good you were, how wise, how smart, how prosperous you are. Okay, there's the father's advice to the son. There's David's advice to Solomon. And I arrived at this text. I pray by the Spirit of God that he said to me, preach to fathers about advice to their sons. Preach to them about it. I've got a verse. I'm going to end with it. But before we get there, I want to say to you, you know, Solomon and David were both kings. They lived 3,000 years ago. They seem kind of removed from me. And if I say, well, times have changed or I'm different or whatever, no. Let me read to you from the book of the Revelation about kings. Listen to this. Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, that means he's the first to rise from the dead, never to die again. We follow him in that. And the prince of the kings of the earth, he's the prince of the kings of the earth. He loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. And then verse 6, this is chapter 1 of Revelation, verse 6 says, he, Jesus, hath made us, what's the next word? Anybody know it? Kings and priests unto God and His Father. You see, brethren, Solomon and David had a kingdom, and you and I have access to a kingdom. We live in the kingdom age. We live in the gospel age, the church age. There's no Israel of old now with a king. There's an Israel, thank God for that. But I think he's a prime minister now, their leader. But brethren, those that are Israelites today are Israelites in here. And the outward man is not nearly as important, but the inward man is. And that Jesus, brethren, has washed us from our sins in His own blood and has made us kings and priests unto God and His Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. That's part of the salutation or the beginning of the book of the Revelation. But it tells us that He's made us kings and priests. We're spiritual kings and spiritual priests. We offer spiritual sacrifices unto God. And we get to enter that kingdom if we keep the charge of the Lord, if we walk in His ways, if we keep His statutes and His commandments, His judgments and His testimonies. Oh, we don't have to keep the law of Moses because we're no longer under the law, but we're under grace. But brethren, you got to keep God's law. If you want to be a king, if you want to rule in a kingdom, if you want to enjoy the blessings of the kingdom, if you want to prosper in all that you do and whithersoever you turn, brethren, you gotta serve God in our day, in a spiritual way. It was a law on the books in Solomon's day, and it was a literal kingdom. He had a throne to sit down on. He had people around him, and he had subjects. And he had wealth, great wealth. We today, brethren, have spiritual wealth. We who are chosen of God in Christ Jesus, who we've been washed in the blood, purged of our sins, brethren, He's made us unto God kings and priests. So it applies to us too. We don't keep the Mosaic law, but we keep the spirit of the law. And so, brethren, keep the law. Keep the spiritual law of God. And you'll prosper. And see, David, I believe David was coaching his son. He was charging his son so his son would experience those blessings, but also so that the people of the country would experience those blessings. It's sad to read on in here. Solomon did such great things. And then, brethren, he got to associating with ungodly people, and he became an ungodly man himself. And when he died, he had a son that took over that was an evil, evil king. And they got worse as time went on. And pretty soon, brethren, well, I don't know how soon, some years, hundreds of years, I don't know. At some point, God had had enough. And he said, that's it. That's it. And Israel divided. There was Judah and Israel. And the Assyrians came and conquered Israel. And the Babylonians came and conquered Judah and just dispersed them, took them away. Anything that was any value. You can read about Solomon when he became king. He built a house for God, a great, wonderful, magnificent, luxurious house for God, full of brass, silver, gold, just full of it. And the Babylonians came in and they began to break it in pieces, and I guess put it in sacks and take it back to Babylon. That God had had enough because Solomon did not keep the charge. Oh, brethren, fathers, charge your children and your grandchildren. You don't ever get through teaching them. I was thinking about that brother from Hickory Springs Church. He's, I don't know how old he is, old as me probably, maybe a little older, I don't know. But he's there trying to teach. He's there trying to do it. Never give up. Never give out, brethren. Never stop. Never stop teaching. The result, we prosper when we do that, brethren, when we keep God's law. But Solomon turned. Don't you turn. Don't you turn, fathers. If you see your children turning out of the way, you turn them back into the narrow way that leads to life. Now, I close with this verse right here. It's Proverbs 20, verse 7. Proverbs 20, verse 7. I have a verse that pops up on my phone every morning. It's the verse of the day. I don't read just one, but that's a good way to start the day. I look, I don't know what time it comes in, sometime in the night, but I try to, first thing every morning, look and see what my verse is for today. Guess what? Guess what it is for today? Wouldn't you know it would fit right in? Listen to this. It's from Proverbs 20, verse 7. The just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. Isn't that good, brethren? Fathers, isn't that good? Here's a promise from God. You want your children to be blessed? You want them to experience blessings after you? That is, as you're getting old, you see your children reaping blessings. After you die, you can die. You can die saying, my children are going to be blessed. Because I have walked in the right way. The just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. Oh, what more could a father ask or a grandfather? What more could you ask? Well, if you want that, brethren, if you want that to be the case with your children and grandchildren, then, brethren, walk in integrity. Walk in the right way. Be a good example for them. Train them up in the way they should go. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You have that obligation, but what goes with it, brethren, is you have that blessing that'll follow. Just like David said to Solomon, follow this and this will happen. We have that promise, fathers. So experience it. Love it. Most of the men in here, I guess, are fathers. But just in closing, a word about Brother Victor. I watched him at camp, too. He doesn't have any biological children. But I'll tell you what, he had about 60 or 70 of them this past week that looked up to him and loved him. And well, he was like a father to those children. One-on-one, I saw him. I don't know what was being said in one conversation, but it was pretty animated. There was a boy there that I think he looked like he was about 19 or 20. And it looked like they weren't agreeing on everything. And Brother Victor was admonishing him. I didn't hear a word that was said. I took a picture of it. Did I send you that picture, Brother Victor? I mean, I will. I took a picture of you. I think I sent it to Andy, or I sent it to somebody. And then there were the little ones, the little guys that look up to Victor. And you don't have to be a biological father to train children and to love children and be loved by them. It's a blessing when you are, but not everybody is. So fathers, train up your children in the way they should go. And we have the other promise, when they're old, they'll not depart from it. It's a blessing to be a father. Happy Father's Day to all you fathers and grandfathers. Happy day to you. But don't stop teaching. Don't stop admonishing. Don't stop charging. Keep it up. And for Christ's sake, don't stop walking in your integrity. Because they see, and God sees. Father, thank you for the great privilege to be a father and a grandfather. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this time together. I thank you, O God, for the fathers in this place right here. Fathers and father figures, every one of them. I thank you for them. Give us strength, O God, to stand as David admonished his son to stand. Be the man. Give us strength to do that. Give us wisdom to know when to stand, when to keep silent, when to speak, where to draw the line, O God. May we study your word together. May we learn from it. May we keep the charge. May we be good examples. Give us grace to do it, O God, and strength to do it. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And we give you thanks, O God. Amen. We're going to stand and sing a hymn, brethren. If you love God, it's because He first loved you. If you want to serve Him in this place with the people here, come forward and let us know it as we stand and sing. Be received in any way the gospel authorizes.